This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Texture at 107010 writes, Adam, I wish you were able to be a middleman here, but it is becoming obvious who you back, the old Langford Council. I'm finding it hard to hear anymore, Texter writes. You can't make someone apologize who didn't say the words. Bill Jamieson said those words, not Scott Goodmanson. The apology, to be clear, Texter, was for allowing the words to be said. And it was almost a minute before the mayor finally jumps in. And when he does jump in, it's both sides. He's telling that the people shouting back from the gallery need to be quiet as well. Goodmanson doesn't jump in until Lisa Foxall calls out. If Lisa Foxall had just sat there and taken the abuse from the man as he hurled that invective at her, if she had just sort of shrunk in her chair, we don't know. Goodmanson might have just sat there and, you know, watched the whole thing a little too intently to make other people not uncomfortable. Like, Goodmanson didn't say a thing until Lisa had already raised her voice to defend herself. Listen.
Feel they don't even want to stay there at, and we want to spend another $14 million for seats they can't fill. These are the people that have increased your taxes. These people.
It just, sir.
See, it's...
Just be careful.
Lisa talks first.
These people.
It just...
Stop.
People.
It just, sir.
And then he goes, hey, just, sir, after Lisa says stop. Goodmanson didn't defend Lisa Foxall. Lisa Foxall calls out to defend herself after almost a minute. Then and only then does Goodmanson step in, interject, and then he starts talking about both sides.
Hey, just, sir, just be careful. Hey, everyone?
Everyone, he says, as if everyone's at fault.
So I'm addressing that, ma'am.
Yeah, now he's addressing it because Lisa called out as well. What would have happened if Lisa just sat there and taken it? Like, we assume many people on that council wanted her to. Would Goodmanson have interjected? Why would he? No, like, there are teams out in Langford, and there's nobody representing the non-partisan, non-Langford now contingent at that council table. They are all a very small political group. And if you're part of their group, if they recognize you as one of the people who put them in office, you get all the latitude in the world. And if you praise them, even if you're not, you get latitude. And God help you. And I mean that because there's nobody else that's helping those people. They're helping themselves if you find yourself on the other side of that power dynamic. I will not be the middleman to toxic partisan politics destroying a community. I will not be complicit in that. I will raise my voice and I will denounce it where I see it. I would be embarrassed to be considered a middleman here. This is not a situation between two opposing groups. This is a government versus citizens, because a partisan force has taken over the entirety of the apparatus of state, even though the mayor vote was 53-45, more or less evenly split. Anyway, Steve Ross Sanders up. Steve, you're on the air. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Adam?
Oh, you know, just another day.
Yeah, it sure is. I'd like to start by saying that I'm sorry to the mayor and council, any of the councillors that may feel threatened by myself or any other members of the public here in Langford who are simply asking what I think are some basic questions about how things are being run. So don't know why they would feel threatened, but if they do, I sincerely apologize for having them feel that way. You see, it is, like you said, it is that easy. It's called, and it's something they should have learned. They should have, their staff even should have advised them to say, we could de-escalate the situation and simply move on. But they chose to take another path. And nobody knows why they would do this. It doesn't make any sense. He could have just de-escalated it, moved on, and be done. And he would have, Nirmal would have said thank you very much and sat down and the meeting could have just proceeded, as opposed to this, the clown show that it continues to be. It's despicable. So, I also...
You found some interesting things about the why.
I did. And, I didn't stay for the whole meeting. And I left because I thought, you know, it won't matter. And I was right. At the end of the day, I heard they just did rubber stamp the three readings for the fiscal plan. But I do understand, for talking to somebody else, I haven't seen the video, it's not up yet, but I understand that Councillor Yakucha did make comment, apparently, on what I had raised, the information. And apparently he said that, wow, he wished he knew about that information before the meeting last night.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. Yep.
Yeah, somebody said he was almost slighting me, saying that, you know, well, why didn't I bring it to their attention before this? Well,
Isn't that what he said about the Constable Sarah Beckett Memorial Run when he refused to fund it with cash? Yeah, it is. He said that he would have preferred notice in advance. I recognize that excuse. I've heard it more than once.
So why are we all who are not in those positions doing the job that they're supposed to be doing? I've spent my time, I've gone through, and I've looked at this information. And in fact, why is the staff not providing them this information? And just to be really clear, if you go back to one of the Committee of the Whole meetings on February 13th, I did raise it to their attention, right? I guess Keith Yakucha wasn't paying attention, or maybe, weren't they supposed to be practicing deep listening or something like that, Adam?
I forgot about deep listening. All of this stuff, like unless you see it all written down in front of you, so much has happened, we forget about it.
Yeah, well, there's no deep listening, there's no listening, and they're just, you know what they're doing? There's two types of listening.
I think they're just flailing, honestly. I don't even think there is a plan. I think they're just trying to survive at this point.
Well, exactly, but pay attention. This is important stuff. And if they would have listened to me back on February 13th, I specifically told them that they needed to see these reports. And in fact, the Director of Finance, Mr. Dillabo, said that they have those reports. And he told me that I couldn't have them unless I went through with the FOI process, which I did. And it took me quite a considerable amount of time to get that information. But when I had it, I was like shocked to find out just how much money in revenues from memberships had increased at the YMCA.
How many do they have? 15,000 memberships now, something like that?
Well, they call it membership units, but it went from 3,300 odd membership units in 2021 to 15,500 in the end of 2023.
So it's bounced back. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And their membership revenues went from under $1,900,000 to $2.6 million in that same time.
So wow.
Yeah, so they're very much on a path to recovery, which is what I asked them.
So why does Legler need to buy it then?
Well, they don't need to buy it.
Yeah.
And by the way, that one line item, the additional amount, and I know I'm kind of like the zealot about the why here.
Well, I know, that's your thing, though. You've done more work than any other person on it, Steve. You know more than I do about it. You know more than anybody else. I trust what you say about it.
The reason I'm doing it, Adam, is because it represents such a significant amount of this tax increase.
Yes. That,
the additional amount. I'm not talking about the base $950,000 that we give them that's based on the contract. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking the money, the additional money, which includes purchasing the Y, potentially. That amount in this year's budget represents 4.7% of that 15% increase.
Hmm.
Just that one item. They could lower the taxes down to near, 10% or 10.5%.
You know what? I just had an epiphany.
One item.
I just had an epiphany while you and I are standing here. Steve, this is why they won't tell you about the business case. Remember January 15th? You were talking to Lillian Spock. You asked about the business case. She called you Ross like she didn't know who you are. I think that was just politics, personally, given what I've been told about her. But who knows? Maybe her memory was failing and she just didn't recognize you, a man she sat on one of Langford's committees with for a significant amount of time. I think they've been watching the membership numbers come back up. I think they have been anticipating a day where the Y returns, to being financially viable, and that's why they haven't bought it yet, because they know they might not need to. What do you think?
Maybe. I mean, we will find out what the business case says. I still think a bunch of them are going to make a play to buy it. I just think that's what they're going to try and
do. That makes sense, though. That's why they haven't bought it yet. It's recovering.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. You know, I know Stu's talked to you about this. It's like any money they should have given should have been a loan, period, full stop. So it's a real travesty out here. They just aren't listening to anybody but the people in their little echo chamber. That's it.
I'm getting chills here. They've been watching it recover. I bet you they are getting the updates. I bet you they're getting the updates in camera, and they're being told, like, we had 3,300 membership units in 2021, and now they have 15,000 in 2023. They've probably been watching that grow every 6 months or so over the last 2 years while they've been in power, but the public doesn't get to see it, so that's why they haven't bought it yet. That makes perfect sense. They just didn't tell us.
Okay, but why are they taxing us for it then, as if they are?
Because they want to use the money for other things.
Well, Jesus.
That's why. Think about it.
Rich, I guess.
They want pet projects. They want a huge pot of money for pet projects, but they're not telling us that the Y is actually recovering. Because that way, if they decide not to buy the Y, because they don't need to subsidize it anymore because COVID's over and people love swimming again, they could use this huge pot of money for pet projects like bike lanes and stuff. Think about it. Well, it makes perfect sense.
It's an ever changing landscape out here on the financial front. The last, you know, there was a May 4th meeting where they made some adjustments, I guess, based on, you know, like moving the general amenity to pay for sidewalks as opposed to tax stabilization. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But when we got the update last night, there was some significant changes since just even March 4th. The revenues have changed by over $8 million. And now all of a sudden we have, I never saw this before, but now we have a capital expenditure this year for $112 million.
Yeah, I saw that a little while ago. I don't know what it is. I was speculating as to what it might be, but I don't think we ever nailed it down.
No, because, I mean, even if the Y was part of that, the rest?
The
thing is that it was only 20. It's 20 yeah. million bucks. So what is $112 million?
They asked
like
about
every
it.
Every other year is like...
Staff was asked about it. I remember it. I'm trying to remember exactly when, though. And they were told that there were certain that property acquisition is something that happens in camera and that they couldn't get into details because of that.
Yeah, but I mean, fair enough, Adam, but there are rules around borrowing, as we discussed in the past, and unless they're going to do everything, that's going to be paid back in less than 5 years, right?
Yeah.
So come on, they need to be a little more transparent with the public when they're talking about that kind of money, right? We're talking about, and they're talking about borrowing proceeds of $88.5 million this year alone.
I have somebody on my text asking me, are the YMCA stats that you've just read out, is that for the West Shore one only or both Greater Victoria locations?
That is what I that's what I requested, and that's what I got. West Shore YMCA.
So there's been a huge recovery then, and they just haven't told us.
There's been a huge recovery.
And they haven't told us.
It's 360% increase in membership units, and it's like the revenues are over 160% increase in a two-year period. And that was to December 31st. And my understanding is there was a Goldstream Gazette article earlier a month ago, which talked about that they've added an additional 500 more members just in January, this January.
That's so why Spock wouldn't tell you about the business case. It makes sense.
Yeah, well, anyway, you know, Adam, so...
Huh.
We got two more years here with this. I just wish that they would listen to some people who I've told them I'm trying to help them.
Yeah.
I don't know why they think we're not trying to help them, because if they listen to us, they could find that middle ground. But they don't. They're just beating everybody up. They won't give a simple apology. I don't know. They've really polarized the community like never before out here, and I just. There are alternatives. There's ways we can come together, and they're just not willing to listen and take that action. And I don't know why. Now I don't actually think all of them are like that. I think Mary is trying, but yeah. I think I personally see a wedge, a divide forming on council here. Where and I think she's on one side, and she's trying, and but she's being isolated out there. And then I'll call, you know, the group, I guess the group of five in Victoria. I'll call them the group of four here in Langford. Right.
But they all are the same party, though. They are the same party. Like there's no political division. There might be personal division, which would be nice, but it's a monoculture. It really is.
It is. I agree.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it's 15,000 membership units, not members per se.
Yeah. Well, and they discussed this way back when I first came to them about membership units and members, but they call it membership units. So it would be a unit would be more than it might be a couple of memberships, right? I believe they were well over 9,000 at the end of the year, 9,000 memberships. So it's whatever their units are.
But either way, what you found is that there's been a significant increase since 2021,
oh, yeah.
And the public hasn't been told that by council. But that would actually explain all their bizarre behavior and why they haven't bought it yet. Because they don't know what it's worth, because they don't know what the membership's going to be, because we're climbing out of COVID.
Exactly. So.
Huh. Okay, that makes perfect sense.
It's just more money out of all of our pockets unnecessarily. So.
Yeah. Steve Rossander, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, Adam, you take care.
All right, thanks for the call. Take care. Quick break. I got Sandy Seifert, then Ren Louie.
Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070 and streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
Texter at 1070 10 writes, Netflix needs to come and do a documentary on the superjet going down, the Mach 5 jet. That was my analogy that I used. Just seemed appropriate given that Langford was the fastest growing. But, yeah, I'm just... Well, I mean, the problem is that Langford didn't even have the problems that the political forces on Facebook convinced people that it had. You know, it's Saanich has a total average tree canopy coverage rating of, I think it's 43% when they measured it in 2019. So any development they've had since then, removing trees would have taken away from that, and any replanting or growing would have added to it. So I'm not sure what the exact number is, but Langford is 48%. Like out of the biggest three municipalities on Vancouver on South Vancouver Island are Saanich, Victoria, Langford, in that order. Saanich has 43%. Victoria has only 28%. Or I said 29 yesterday, but Chris Coleman said this on December 14th.
Remember that our arboreal canopy is about 28%, and our goal is to get to 40%, which means we need another 50,000 trees.
They need 50,000 trees to get to 40.
Mature trees in the city, both on private lands and on public lands.
Langford already has 48. They've already surpassed that.
We say we have about 48% canopy cover across the whole area.
But then they argue that's not good enough because it's not evenly distributed. And that was the whole reason Stu Young supposedly got kicked out. Because Langford was running out of trees. They were putting a tourniquet on a wound. They scared people on Facebook because there was no data. It was just all conjecture. Whoever's the best at spinning wins the argument. Now we have the data, and it turns out that Langford has 48% tree canopy coverage. They actually had the consultant last night telling people that Langford has large tree canopy compared to other municipalities because there are so many parks. It wasn't the narrative that there are no parks. And they go, oh, those are regional and provincial parks. Yeah, a park is a park. You can still use it. Because they're trying to justify the spin that they use to gain power. This was about them. This was about power. It wasn't about helping people. It was about them wanting to take away the voices of others they disagreed with. It was about a reversal. Except they're raising the taxes. The trees already were protected far better than they are in Saanich and Victoria, which again sounds weird given the narratives, but data is data. Yeah, I just don't get it. Sandy Seifert, you're up. 3 minutes. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing okay. I just wanted to call in. Thanks for taking my call and for shedding a light on this absolute farce of a council. I mean, and it's so funny, you know, Goodmanson thinks he can play these games and win. Well, no, he can't. Let's play Jeopardy.
Yeah, let's play Jeopardy music. It's a game.
You know, it's like, I feel like they should play that clown song, you know.
Get some Calliope music in there.
Yes, that's it. That's more fitting, you know. And it's funny because once I thought, you know, they were just going to go online, I knew because we came for the protest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And as soon as our signs came out, there were two security officers there. And they were, we're there to make sure that everybody can get in safely. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And that you can protest safely, which you're right. So they kind of set a presence right there as having security. And then for Nurple to get up there and very politely ask for this apology, which is absolutely warranted, and then for, nobody but anybody online can actually speak. So knowing that, who was there, I messaged a couple people and I said, go ahead and Zoom. Because remember that time when they cut me off and then I phoned in?
Yep, I remember that.
You know, what they think we're stupid. Like, there's ways to get our message out there. And they keep trying to shut down every single time we try to have a voice. And it's really, really apparent that they're not listening to us. But we're not going to stop going. We're not going to stop, creating.
Oh, you're breaking up, Sandy. I promise I'm not pressing a button.
No, that's okay.
Oh, there you are.
No, we're sorry.
That's okay.
No, we're just not going to stop creating avenues for us to speak our voice and to be heard, even though it falls on deaf ears. But yeah, but what a joke. What a joke that this council is.
Sandy Seifert.
That's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
All right. Have a good day. Take care. 250-386-1161 star 1070. Texture 107010 writes, I attended my first council meeting last night, and I cannot believe how this council acted. Turning off the mics, hanging up on people, not letting people speak who were there to speak. As someone in Texture writes who's lived in Langford for almost 50 years, I was totally embarrassed. This is my council. Bet the mayor had a lot to think about on his drive home to Gordon Head, a texter writes. I'm not sure he lives in Gordon Head. I just know he lives somewhere in Saanich. And, you know, the mayor of Victoria lives there as well in Saanich. It's a municipality that has the most people. It's the largest. The urban forest coverage is better, though, as Scott Goodmanson commutes from Saanich into Langford. Although you would have never, ever heard that during the campaign. Because if you had, it's possible that he wouldn't have actually won and have all this power that he seems to enjoy in the first place. Anyway, quick break. Back in a moment.
This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Texture 107010 asks a great question. What is the relative difference in the tree canopy over time for Langford? I will suggest popular opinion as a result of visibility of hilltops in Langford being cleared of trees. Texture, I think you're right. It says the relative loss of trees in Langford over the young years would be interesting to compare with changes in other municipalities. Texture, the most one of like I love actually this report, the tree report. Like I was skeptical that all this money being spent, including the helicopter with the LIDAR to go around and count the trees, was the highest and best use of taxpayer funds. But Texture, yesterday when I got a chance to finally read that report, it was a delight to go through this because it corroborates everything that we have been hearing, not from the politicians and sort of people who wanted to take power for themselves through pushing this narrative, but from people who have actually lived in the community for decades in some cases and who have talked about how Langford was completely logged more than once in the last 100 years. All of it was clear cut. There were no hills at one point or another without trees on them. They all got cut blocked one after the other, including Bear Mountain. Bear Mountain, like some people call it Bear Mountain, B-A-R-E. That's a common thing, like it's a snarky thing you'll see on Facebook. Bear Mountain has been bare at least twice before, all of it. It was a tree farm. It was a tree farm license. Western Forest Products owned it as a tree farm license. The trees there grew back after it got clear cut, and those trees grew back after it got clear cut. It's like we're watching farmers' fields that get harvested periodically. But we've only been there to see the most recent harvest grow, and we're mistakenly thinking that's the only harvest that's ever been there. It's not. 4% of Langford's trees, according to the report, are old growth. 96% are something else. They're newer. A lot of them are mature trees. A lot of them grew probably early 1900s, maybe. 1950s, 1940s, give or take, around there, they would have started growing, which means that they're like 80 years old, give or take now, a lot of them. So a lot of them are mature, but Langford was a logging area. Langford was logged, all of it. And they used the railroad to take the lumber basically anywhere it would go to market. And then the trees grew back and then they logged it again. Like the history of Langford is a history of the railroad and logging was essentially what was happening there. So when we talk about the differences in the tree canopy over time, it is true that the tree canopy was larger in 1991 than it is now in 2024. But it's also true that in 1991, the tree canopy was a lot larger than it was in, you know, 1950 or the last time there was a major wave of logging activity that went through the municipality. Only 4% of those trees are as nature intended, old growth. And there's actually some really tall trees, too. The tallest trees in the municipality are 80 meters tall. That's 240 feet for those of you who work in Imperial. Just massive trees. Most of them are inside Goldstream Park. They're protected. No one will ever be able to touch them. You need not worry about them. Bear Mountain is young, tall trees, but they're not even mature. And they actually classify the trees. And you can see that the trees that were on Bear Mountain weren't even the mature type. They were actually younger, they were thinner, and that's exactly what we would expect given that Bear Mountain itself was a periodic tree farm. The problem is that members of the public looked up and they saw Skirt Mountain is its proper name. They saw South Skirt Mountain being cleared, as it has been cleared more than once before, but they thought that this time was the first time. They thought that pristine nature was being disturbed. And despite anyone who would have told them better that, no, if you know anything about the history of Langford, you know the whole place has been clear cut multiple times at different stages, people believe that pristine nature that has been here since time immemorial was somehow being lost. When in fact, mediocre quality tree farm trees that had regrown from multiple clear cuts before were simply being cleared. Texture 107010 writes, 4% is an awful number. Do you understand the importance of old growth? Yes, I do. But I find not many other people do. Many other people seem to think that it's like magic and that old growth will somehow have properties that it simply does not. There's no old growth in Langford to save that isn't already protected. None of it is at risk. The only trees that are at risk are, in most cases, trees that were cut down 50, 60 years ago that have grown up unused since then. There's no ancient rainforest to save there. It was already gone a long time ago. The only ancient rainforest being cut down in Langford is imaginary ancient rainforest in people's brains that they talk to each other about on Facebook. And that's unfortunate. So the data we got yesterday is 48% canopy cover. But it's not like special ancient rainforest. That was gone a long time ago. So you can't lose that, to be clear. I want to go to Ren Louis, who's calling in. Hey, Ren, you're on the air. How you doing?
Good. How's it going, Adam?
Oh, you know, just another day. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to add a bit of context to what Nirmal was talking about last night, because the mayor was more concerned about Jeopardy music than accountability, right?
I can't believe he said that. Like, I can't believe it.
He's, you know what, he's the kindergarten mayor.
Like, and he's, it's a game to him. And for him to admit that it's a game and say that he wants game show music for all this because it's fun, it's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's his entertainment. And, so on the March 4th meeting, if you recall, I asked, I noted for the record that Mr. Yakucha was laughing at Nirmal. And
That's something that I would expect to be a lot more difficult, Ren. That request, I don't think, would have been very helpful last night. I'd totally forgotten about it, though.
Yeah, I think that's where Nirmal was going when he said he wanted an apology from...
He didn't mention that.
Scott and Keith. Yeah, they didn't let him get there. But I wanted to share, I actually did talk to the mayor about that, because on top of laughing at Nirmal, Mr. Yakucha was shaking his head at me in the same meeting, March 4th, right? Again, he thinks he's not on camera, so he can do what he wants.
Yeah,
exactly. So so I talked to the mayor, and I said, well, okay, where are we at this? Because this is, you know, I read the code of conduct. There's eight that I can count, eight of the rules that he violated that night. So where are we at? What are you going to do? And he said, oh, well, I spoke to him, and he was actually, he wasn't laughing at Nirmal, he was laughing at something that had happened earlier in the day.
See, this is why Goodmanson would have actually been justified in refusing to accept the request last night, if it would have reopened that. So I don't think that's what it was, Ren.
Yeah, and then, so I talked about,
I'm saying that because if you had to until Keith admitted it, he wasn't going to, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that can't be what was expected.
So then when I asked the mayor, I said, okay, well, what about the head-shaking incident? And he goes, oh, no, that didn't happen. I said, it would have, because if you recall, I asked him, why are you shaking your head at me? And he said, because it's not true, which wasn't the case. You know, but the mayor told me that Mr. Yakucha apologized to him. So apologies do happen. They just don't go to the residents, especially if you're in our Langford. It's kind of...
Yeah, but the problem is nobody saw that, so it's not like he can prove it, right? Whereas everybody saw Bill Jameson. There's no question about what happened with Bill Jameson. That was the issue.
And it's on the record.
Yeah.
And there's no accountability in that sense, in which the mayor is just, you know, refusing to go, you're correct, I'm sorry, I should have acted quicker. And I raised the same point about you wanted to call bylaw on Scott Perry, but Mr. Jameson not only got to do that, but... You know, behind the scenes, off the record, was saying really despicable things about women in general, and nothing was being done about it. And, you know, there wasn't even a recess because Councillor Harder did try to call a recess, right? And that wasn't approved either.
Yeah.
But he goes, well, I have one more year of experience. That's why I didn't do anything about Bill Jameson compared to Scott Perry, which makes little to no sense. You know, so I really feel for Nirmal. You know, they've had a hard time lately, but then to be disrespected like that again, I just, you know, my heart goes out to him is all I wanted to say.
Hmm. Yeah, well, and I appreciate you adding that little bit of context there. I just, because everybody saw the, what happened in chambers, right? We can argue about what might have happened when we're not there and other people aren't there until forever, and nobody can prove it. So that would never end. So that's why I could see why we wouldn't want to get embroiled in something like that, certainly in public. But in terms of the Bill Jamison stuff, Goodmanson should have just said sorry. We all saw it. There's no doubt. There's no conjecture. Mm-hmm. It happened.
You're right. Exactly. And yeah, so it's really too bad that he just can't step up and lead the municipality that he, you know, put forward his name to try to lead us. And he's not capable. And it's really unfortunate that now we're seeing that. So, yeah. Well, okay. I wanted to say thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Anytime, Ren.
Of course. Have a good day.
All right. Bye now. Have a good day. 250-386-1161. Let's go next to Richard. Hey, Richard, you're on the air. How you doing?
Good morning, Adam. Well, not too bad. So I had a little run of the ambulance the other day, but that's okay. I got to control myself with ticker issues.
Yeah.
But to me, this whole thing is sounding a little bit really childish. You know, it's gone too far.
Yeah.
But, you know, trees are fine. But like I said before, a couple months ago, trees are better in a forest. If you're going to develop a city or housing development, it's better off to clear cut it, period. And start again fresh.
Better to clear cut it, you say?
Yeah, exactly. So you can build your homes. You don't have to worry about them blowing down. You don't have to worry about digging the roots going under the road and all that stuff. So and leave the forest alone. This is what I keep saying. Leave the old growth and just deal with the second growth. And that Bear Mountain, that's been used as a tool. Bear Mountain is called Bear Mountain because it was bare. At the beginning, it was bare. Just nothing grew on it for whatever reason. It was too rocky and no soil would stick to it or something. But it was Bear Mountain because it was bare, just a knob bare. And so, to me, this is so childish and so frustrating.
Well, I mean, it's a tree farm. Like, Western Forest Products is who sold Bear Mountain to Len Berry and the other investors group who eventually put it there. Like, I don't understand how anybody can be under the impression that there was pristine forest there. It was a tree farm.
The Sioux Hills Park was Western Forest Park. The CDC Park was owned by Western Forest.
Yeah, once upon a time it was, yeah. But it's not ancient rainforest. It's a farm. It's been culled again and again.
Well, basically all of Vancouver Island has been logged.
No, some of it has. Very little has. You're right. But there are some spots that haven't.
Yes, you're right. And the majority of that, and talk about Western Forest Products, and at this very time, they've made a deal with a native population because that's the only place where there is old growth at this point in time on their lands. And Western Forest Products has made a deal with them for 12 years or whatever it is to have a controlling interest over those lands, over those trees.
Hmm.
And that's where the only old growth left is on Vancouver Island. Everything else has been stripped. Completely up old growth.
But it's regrown. People love it. People are crying because they appreciate the trees so much. And it's brand new. Like, the point is that this stuff regrows. It's just people like the idea that it's been there longer than it's been there. Their imagination doesn't change what's there. If they appreciate the trees, they appreciate the trees. They grow back.
Well, they do grow back, Adam. But this is what I say. You got to leave the trees in the forest.
What does that mean? The trees are the forest.
They're not going to go anywhere. So if we build our houses all the way through the edge of the forest, then we need more room. So take more trees. But until then, we don't need them. We're in a perfect world, and we screw it up. Leave the old growth alone and log our second growth. We can mill it here, which I wish we would, as opposed to exporting it. When I seen that barge down in the Sioux where the cruise ships come in with that, all those logs on it, you had to bring it in because it hit some rough seas and they're going to lose the whole works in the ocean. That was pretty impressive. And if anybody's seen all of those logs that were on that barge, you were heading out of town. That, to me, was absolutely disgraceful. When we build our homes out of wood and the cost of building these days, but yet we send them away with a big pile of logs.
Well, if you want them to stay here, you should buy them. We send them to whoever buys them.
Well, this is it. This is, people do buy it.
It's not like we were firing them out of a cannon. We're selling them to whoever's going to buy them. And if more people here bought them, they would stay here.
Well, this is it. And this is, but all us, they bought when they when the company took over the forest industry, they got rid of all the sawmills. They dropped all those, get rid of all those. We don't need the sawmills because the land is worth more money than the sawmill. Get rid of them. And we can sell all the other stuff out of town to China, India, Europe, somewhere.
Well, if people in town were buying it, they would have kept doing that. Like, the issue is that other people said, we want this, and they offered more money.
I know, but all the sawmills shut down, so there was no immediate sawmills to build the stuff.
Yeah.
Because the company bought all those, and I mentioned once before, I tried to get this going over 40 years ago to stop that old growth. When the timber company bought out the original companies, and as soon as that happens, the union tried to get on them to stop that export, and they just changed their name and carried on. Oh, there's no company there. Who are you going to sue? They're not there anymore.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Some companies can go bankrupt. They can disappear. They're not the government.
They're not. They're liable for it. So you're dead in the water. You can't control it. Just rape and pillage.
Well, no, I totally disagree with that shocking sentence you just said. But before that, when you said you're not in control, you're actually understanding that's what economics is. It's how the economy works. Nobody is in control of everything. Nobody. Like, not me, not you, not the government, not the richest person in the world. Nobody controls everything. You have to cooperate with other human beings to do business.
Well, I know that this is the issue of the communism, is that control, right? But
well, it doesn't work.
Well, the thing is, I think we've got to a point in time in our life where we have to kind of tinker with some of that to have complete control of everything.
Nope.
And since we do have complete control of everything, but we kind of shun that off, or we just kind of change the words a little bit, and then we're not totally in control anymore. Let's face it, our government is control. I mean, look at the way our real estate is going. They're trying to control the cost, in which I totally agree, because I tried to get something going here when they were... Homes were hitting over 200,000. I started to panic and started screaming and hollering and kicking my feet and slamming doors.
But who are you yelling at? Who do you want to change? Like who specifically should have changed their behavior? The reason the logs went offshore is because customers here didn't buy them.
Well, I know, because who can afford all of a sudden?
Anybody can.
Well, anybody can, but then you got to find the zoning. And I mentioned once before on this show that there should be a sawmill established in this center part of the island somewhere. There's so many logging roads all over.
Well, you should
island.
Build it then. Go to the bank, get the loan, say you want to build your sawmill, and see what they say.
Well, I'm getting a little old for that, so I'm putting the idea across.
Too old.
Matter. But this is what I see. We have to look after ourselves. You know, it's so our houses cost so much to build now. There's so many moving parts to get to that point. We have to find another meaning of wealth.
You're right. We do. Richard, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. You have a great day. There's two sawmills in Souk. Somebody just texted me. I'm not aware of how many sawmills there are in any particular place, but if that rings true to you, great. I got more calls. Quick break. Back in a moment.
If it's happening, it's here. This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Texture 107010 writes, it's not how it works, Adam. Whole logs are taken offshore for cheaper labor to finish, and the finished lumber is shipped back to us to purchase. Texture, but there's no one person that does all that, or at least there usually isn't. What happens is whoever wants to buy the logs gets the logs. If we had local people buying them, local companies buying them, they wouldn't go offshore. There's nobody who says, we're only cutting these down to ship these offshore. That's not how it works. That's not how, like, we can imagine that we would prefer that it works that way, but there are limits to how far you can try to force somebody to do something to sell to only one customer when there's another customer that's offering them a better price. That's generally how it works. And the fact of the matter is that domestic processors were not able or were not interested in buying domestically sourced logs because the labor was too expensive, among other reasons. Foreign labor was a lot cheaper. Jurisdictions, as transportation costs dropped, became more economically viable. They decided to buy the lumber. Should we have prevented them from doing so? There are some who say yes, but that just means nobody gets the log. And that's what the environmentalists want, right? They want it just to sit there. It's the ultimate selfishness. It's like wasting food. You know, when you're a kid, it's like eat everything on your plate. You don't want to spoon things into the garbage. That's what environmentalists look like to me. They want nobody to benefit at all. They want it just to sit on the hillside, completely unused, completely wasted, while we have people with no homes, people with no future, people with no hope. Young people have no hope because we refuse to build enough homes for them so we can waste space that could be going to productive use by selfishly having somebody be able to look at some trees on it. And they're not even nice trees. They're not even old growth trees. They're skinny, tall, third or fourth growth trees because it's a tree farm that people imagine to be something else on Facebook. And they're not the ones that are homeless. If they were willing to be homeless because they love the trees so much, I would be more interested in listening to the argument, but they're not. They want the home and they want to deprive somebody else of their home so they can look at the tree and imagine it to be something it is not. Texture 107010. Writes, ecological diversity in old growth forests is different, is very different from second growth. Yes, it is. Absolutely, it is. My point is that Langford's already gone. Langford was clear cut like five decades ago. You can't lose what's already gone. Nobody should shed a tear for third or fourth growth tree farm trees getting cut down. And yet that's exactly what ended up happening in the last election. They have 48% canopy cover right now, but only 4 of it is old growth. The rest of it isn't. 37% of the 48 is in provincial and regional parks.
We say we have about 48% canopy cover across the whole area, with 37% being within regional and provincial parks.
See, the new narrative is that, oh, the reason Langford has so many trees is because Stu Young couldn't touch some of them. Well, who cares? They keep changing the story. They keep just making up something new and throwing it at the wall to justify what this is really all about, and it's people who don't deserve it being powerful. People being powerful, wielding power, controlling people's lives. That mayor loves being the chair of those meetings. Got a big smile on his face because he's powerful and he knows it. It's the most important job he's ever had, and it's the most important job he ever will have. The rest of his life will be downhill when he's no longer the mayor, and we all know it. Like, these are privileged positions. These are positions that people try for decades to get into, and in many cases, still end up failing. That's why I always roll my eyes whenever I hear any of them whine about the pay or the compensation. You don't like being a ruler and controlling somebody's life, then give up the crown.
Just clarification, that's 37% of the total area, or 37% of that 48%?
He's asking that because if it was 37% of the total area, it would mean that 37 of the 48 was provincial and regional, which means that the last Langford mayor and council couldn't take credit for it. What difference does that make to the climate? Zero. What difference does that make to land use going forward? Zero. What difference does that make to politics? Because Stu Young can't take credit for it? A massive difference, which I suspect is why the question got asked, but it was not what I think the councillor was hoping it would be.
Through you, Mayor Goodmanson, to Councillor Yachunda?
Yakucha.
Yakucha?
Everybody has trouble with it.
Excellent point of clarification. It's 37% of the 48%, so a bit of derivative math there. Apologize for that.
So if you want 37% of 48, you'd go 0.37 times 0.48, and you'd get a smaller fraction, 0.1776. So it's 18% of the canopy cover across the municipality is there because of provincial and regional parks. The remaining 30% is privately owned. Only some of it is actually on municipal land, relatively small amount. So it's the privately held lands with the trees on it that the Urban Forest Management Plan is going to impact, basically. They're going to change zoning rules. Oh, you want to make a subdivision? You have to have this many trees that you leave behind. And we don't know how much more expensive that's going to make housing yet. It's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why there was so much pushback against this council in the first place. But that's where we stand. We finally, have data, but they've changed it. They say now that even though the canopy is too high, where it is in the municipality matters.
Yeah, we have 48% coverage, which is a large amount of coverage, but 30% is outside of provincial parks, only about 18.
Oh, are those trees less effective for climate change?
Is within that regional parks. Out of that, over half is privately held.
Okay, those trees still work.
Meaning that is really what we are targeting with this temporary bylaw. Less than 5% on municipal land. So, you know, really what this State of the Urban Forest report showed is, although we have that large amount of tree cover, it really isn't the size that matters.
It's not the size that matters anymore.
It's really more about where it goes, about what you're doing with it. And with the heat canopy, the heat islands we're seeing that we have that 12 degree difference. We have these massive areas downtown that are really suffering from that inequality with access to trees and shade.
Oh, now we have tree inequality. Okay. I wonder what the story will be next week. Anyway, quick break. We're back in a moment.